If you would, turn in your Bibles this evening to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23, and I may get a little loud if this gets a little hot. I don't want to scare anybody. I just want you to be braced a little bit. We'll begin our reading here in verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino, the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. I just like the way that rolls off my tongue. One of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. I want to preach a message tonight entitled, Mighty Men Needed. These verses come right after the last words of David and provide us with a list of those men who were counted as David's most trusted and valiant soldiers. Now, David was a valiant soldier in his own right. He was a king that was greatly beloved by the nation of Israel. In fact, it was David when God raised him up after he had slew a lion and a bear, God put him in a position to challenge the very one that the children of Israel were so fearful of. And I'm amazed at the courage of David, how God empowered him when he came into that camp as just a young, stripling youth. And he saw Goliath, and he saw the Israelites. As Goliath would blaspheme, they would cower in fear, and no one would challenge him. And David, with righteous indignation, said, "Is there not a cause?" And what amazed me is the faith that David had. He believed that God was with him. And he told Goliath, before he ever reared back and let that stone loose out of that sling, he told him he was going to whip him. He told him that the God of heaven, the true God, was going to empower this young man, and he was going to defeat Goliath that day. And that's exactly what happened. Even though his own countrymen, his brothers, they mocked him and they said, "You know, you need to go back to Dad." David said, "Is there not a cause?" And he backed up this bravado with faith. And on that day, God guided that stone right into the forehead of Goliath, and down went that giant. David went over and cut his head off. And he displayed it for all to see. And from that point on, David was known as a man of God, as a leader among men. It was David who took on the ungodly giant and slew him by the power of God. Now, I look at David, and I don't want you to think that he was a man of perfection, because he was not. He was a man after God's own heart. He wrote some of the greatest compositions of poetry and music that the world has ever known contained in the book of Psalms. But David was a flawed man. And he was inconsistent at times. Yet God used him to inspire a nation. And especially those soldiers that were under his charge. Folks, we live in an age that is increasingly against mighty men. Now, ladies, please don't take this in the wrong way. But I'm telling you, if we don't get back in our culture, in our churches, in our society, to the importance that men play in our homes, in our churches, and in society at large, we need godly men who are leaders, who are faithful, who are masculine, who are truthful and honest and courageous and bold. Men that will lead. We need mighty men to act as valiant soldiers of the cross, committed to serving our great King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may God be pleased to raise up godly men who are fearless in service and who are faithful no matter what the circumstances. Now, first of all, I'd like to look at the purpose of this passage. Number one, to prove that all of Scripture is relevant, instructive, and important. I believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible says in Romans 15:4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Now be honest. Have you been reading faithfully in your devotions? And I'm assuming that everybody here reads their Bible through at least once a year. If you don't, you ought to start. There's a reason why God has given us 66 books. We ought to investigate the truth that's in this Word. It ought to be part of our daily diet. I've got a little phrase. I call it BBB. It's Bible before breakfast. And I tell you what, if you can get yourself in that mindset that I am going to partake of the Word of God before I partake of any sustenance for my body, it will get you in a routine. They say if you do anything for 21 days straight, it becomes a habit. This would be a good habit to get into. Amen. To read your Bible every morning before you eat. Now, oftentimes, though, we glance over or disregard passages like this. We read the names like, you know, Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. And we think, I'm just going to read over that. Because they're unfamiliar to us. But the mighty men are listed to honor, first, they're listed here to honor David, the soldier king, who had trained, inspired, and commanded them. I believe. And think about this. How amazing is it that all these years later, in 2018, we are opening the Word of God and reading about these soldiers who faithfully served under King David at His discretion, at His command. They are forever memorialized in the Word of God. That's powerful. And it's something that we shouldn't take for granted. You know that the mighty men are listed to honor David. And I believe there's coming a more glorious day when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will be honored. When those who have faithfully served Him, who have borne His image, who have faithfully honored Him in their daily lives as Christian soldiers, and those men and women and boys and girls who were inspired by the example, the precepts, the power, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is coming a day at the judgment seat of Christ where we will have the distinct honor, if we receive a crown, to cast them at His feet in an act of worship to our great King who's trained us, who's given us precepts to follow, who has given us a spotless, perfect, holy example that we ought to yearn to be more like. One day we're going to stand before Him. And as servants of the King, as soldiers of the cross, we're going to give an account for what we've done, the deeds we've done, and why we did them in these bodies. Every act of Christian valor ought to reflect the glory of Christ who has trained us by way of precept and practice. These men are listed to honor their service and example. I don't think these men lobbied to have their names put in here. They were merely serving their King. They loved Him. They wanted to do good by their country. They wanted to represent their King in the right way, in an honorable way. I don't think that they were looking for the praise of men. But they are recognized for their service. And there is a principle. The Bible says that the memory of the just is blessed. The Bible says that we are to give honor to whom honor is due, and God is forever memorializing these men for their service. Their example of faithfulness and courage are for the generations to follow. When you see Christians who in history who loyally serve the Lord, who were faithful and courageous in the fight, it ought to inspire you and I to do the same.
That's right.
You think about our Baptist forefathers who did not sit on padded pews, who had no ability to boom out their voices. It all had to come from within. They didn't have anything to amplify it. Many of our Baptist brethren had to meet in caves. They had to meet in secret. They were often persecuted, hounded, tortured, put to death. Some were drowned. Some were tortured and burned at the stake. Yet they faithfully served.
Amen.
They did not quit. And I believe, folks, that you and I ought to be inspired by their example. We are getting too soft. Well, let's look at the people and the principles of this that are revealed in this passage. There are over 30 mighty men named in our passage. And just in case you're worried about it, we're not going through all 30 of them. Because I'm not going to take up Brother Burford's time. Their names are forever inscribed in a book that will never pass away. The book you hold in your laps tonight is forever settled in heaven. God inspired it. He's preserved it. and their names are recorded here for all eternity. All are important. Some are considered more noteworthy than others, illustrating that all are not equal among men and women. Now, we may be created by the same God, but not everybody is the same. Please don't misunderstand that. We all have different talents. We all have different abilities, and you can see it in these mighty men. We may be created equal by the same just God, but all are indeed different in their skill, their talents, their abilities. And it's true of all humanity. Beware of anybody that tells you that you're always going to have equal outcomes. It's never going to happen among mankind. It will not happen. Now, interestingly enough, their names are recorded after the last words of the king are recorded. And I believe it foreshadows the judgment seat of Christ. The last words of our king was, "Behold, I come quickly." And John's response was, he was ready. He was looking. He said, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." I believe the Lord could come back tonight. That there is not one prophetic event that needs to be fulfilled that Jesus could come tonight. He said, "Watch and pray, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." He may come this evening. Are you ready? Because the next event for you as a believer is going to be the judgment seat of Christ, where you will give an account for how you've served the Lord and why you served the Lord. Well, let's look into some of these men. Verse 8. "And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil." Eleazar. He fought when others fled. Everybody else forsook their post. And it says that he was so steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that he used his sword with such ferocity that his hand clave to the sword. It was like he was working that. And have you ever used a sword? When my youngest son was little, every day he'd be outside and he'd get a stick and he'd act like it was a sword or stick and he'd play with that thing. When he got older and he could actually buy his own sword, he bought one. He still plays with it. He's 28 years old. But I tell you what, man, you start whipping around a sword for very long and you'll get weary because they were heavy. But what amazed me about this man, he wouldn't let go. Despite being weary and worn, it's as if he had worked so long and used that sword with such power that his hand was cramped around it. He wouldn't let it go. He kept using it. It takes spiritual courage to stand. Using the sword of the Spirit when others quit, when others run, when others get offended and say, "I won't go, I won't stand," that shouldn't prevent you from standing. "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." You and I have a responsibility. I learned a long time ago. I've been saved for 38 years. I've seen people. I've seen a lot of what I call firecracker Christians. They start out with a big bang and they fizzle out. I like to see people who are steady, who are consistent, who are faithful. But I determined by the grace of God a long time ago that no matter what other people may do or not do, my responsibility is to press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. My responsibility is to keep serving even when others quit, even when others lose heart. I got to keep wielding this sword. The sword of the Spirit. You know, Paul the Apostle had a similar testimony. He was faithful. And do you know that at the end of his days, he was able to say, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. And I wonder tonight, are you on track to be able to say that before the Lord? Are you steadfast? Are you faithful as you serve your King? You know, God wrought a great victory that day. And you'll notice that all the people that had forsaken Eleazar after he whooped everybody, they came back to gather the spoils. Now, if that would have been me, I would have said, hey, you guys didn't do nothing for that. We're wicked like that. It impresses me that his eyes were on the Lord. He wasn't on other people. He didn't worry that they came and got the spoils. He did what he was supposed to do. And he left the rest to the Lord. That's the way we ought to serve the Lord. We ought to just be faithful. No matter what happens. Now I left out Adino, and I can't do that because I love Adino. Verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. And he lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Adino was David's chief military advisor. But he was not just a general as a title. He was actually a man of wisdom and of valor. He actually fought the battles. He wasn't merely a general by appointment. He achieved his rank by standing against and defeating 800 enemy soldiers at one time. Wow! 800-1. He said, oh, come on, preacher, that's impossible. There ain't no way that one man can defeat 800. Well, don't forget, if God be for us, who can be against us? I don't know who it was, but some famous preacher said that with God, you're in the majority. Whether the rest of the people recognize it or not. And God used him this day. He had such boldness that he did not shirk his responsibility. And he slew 800. And I think there's a real lesson for us today. We are facing long odds. We are at war, a spiritual war with a culture that is overwhelmingly becoming more hostile and hateful toward God, His Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need some mighty men who will stand one against 800. No matter what the odds, I'm going to stand for the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to wield the weapons that He has given me. His Word and prayer and holiness. Oh, that God had raised up men with that kind of boldness and courage. Folks, we are in a decided minority. And I fear that it's getting more so. So there is a day. Today is the day that our lives must shine as a beacon of hope and grace and peace to a world that's in darkness. Now, verse 11. And after him was Shammah. And Again, these are the Buffalo Creek pronunciations. I should have probably listened to Alexander Scorby on the way here. But I probably would have fouled up his accent. So please forgive me if you're not accustomed to my dialect. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. You know, this man faithfully defended a piece of ground that served as a food source for his people. Now, these Philistines were ruthless. They were cruel. They were hateful. They blasphemed the God of Israel. And they would love nothing more than to capture this patch of ground that had been worked over by these Israelites and steal their source of food. And there were Israelites that were fearful of the Philistines, and they all ran. Except for Shammah. They fled, but he stood. They cowered, but he defended. As the marauding Philistines sought to steal the land, everybody fled in fear but Shammah. And I wonder tonight, how much are you and I willing to fight for our food source? The bread of God. The Word of the living God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Job said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I ask you tonight, are you willing to defend the truth of the Word of God? Are you willing to defend the truth of the Lord's New Testament church? Amen. Salvation by grace through Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Through His death, burial, and resurrection alone as the means of salvation. Are you a Baptist with a big B? I am, brother. Yeah, I've heard these guys say, well, I'm a Christian with a capital C, and I'm a Baptist with a little B. You know, they aggravate me when they say that. I wonder what our forefathers would have thought. I'm a Baptist by conviction. I don't believe that we ought to let down the truth about the Lord's church, about scriptural Baptist baptism, the Lord's Supper, and all the things that are involved in serving the Lord in the church that Jesus started. Will you defend that? Will you be faithful to the gospel, to the faith once delivered unto the saints when so many are running from the enemy? It grieves me in 38 years, and it makes me tremble to see how many people who were once faithful who have just laid down their sword. Some have gone into other denominations. I tell you, that troubles me. And when I see it, I don't rail on them. I tremble and I say, oh God, help me to be faithful. Amen. Give me the grace. I remember when I first came to Mount Pleasant, my kids were 4, 6, and 8. I told the membership in my first sermon. They really didn't know what they was getting into. I said, folks, I want you to understand something. You have a solemn responsibility. You see Aaron, 4 years old, Josh, 6 years old, Katie, 8 years old. Their eyes are going to be watching you. Are you going to be faithful? Are you going to serve the Lord with zeal and love and courage and faithfulness? We need that in our churches. Every one of us ought to have the courage and the boldness of this man who faithfully defended that piece of ground, that food source. You know, our society, our culture is losing ground. So much ground is being lost to atheists and progressives and charismatics. Let us learn to stand our ground for the glory of God and for the sake of our families. Amen. There is something more important than your personal comfort and prosperity, and that is the glory of God. Amen. And you and I ought to be like this man. No matter who else flees, he stood there. He defended that food source. He wouldn't give it up. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 to stand fast in the Lord and in the power of His might. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in high places. Right. Folks, we are in a spiritual warfare. Politicians and university professors, they want to steal and take away every vestige of Christianity. Every vestige of the truth of the Word of God. They want it banished from our society. And they, Christian people, have allowed them.
Amen.
We're not bold enough. See, how can I be more bold? You know, every day you have opportunities to witness. Inevitably, if you meet somebody, they're going to ask you, how you doing? Much better I deserve than by the grace of God. I've been saved. I'm going to heaven. How about you? You say, oh, come on, preacher, there. They'll think I'm crazy. Well, I look at it this way. What if that simple interaction causes them to think, man, this guy has got enough gumption about him to tell me about the Lord Jesus? There may be something to that. I'm going to tell you something. The progressives, the atheists of our world, they're bold in what they're saying. The homosexuals, they're right in your face. In our culture, we need to stand our ground. And we need to do it in grace and in love. Amen. Now look at verse 13. And three of the thirty chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. These three mighty men who risked their lives to fulfill the desire of their king. His mere wish was their command. He said, oh, if I could... And I'm sure that David, it was just something that he thought, oh, man, I remember drinking out of that well. I'd love to have some of that water. They wanted to please their king. And in an act of bravery and valor, his wish was their command. They were willing to do anything to please their king. They had no fear of the Philistines because their desire was so fervent to please David, fear was banished from their hearts. Boy, this puts me to shame. You know what? I don't have mere wishes in the Word of God. I have got clear-cut commands that are forever written in the book of God that I ought to be desiring to obey and live each and every day. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, if you do whatsoever I've commanded you, that you'll prove your love. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. I wonder tonight, where are you at? Do you take the commands of the Word of God seriously? How this ought to convict us. A lot of times, we're not even willing to get up in time to read our Bibles. When it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Knowing that Jesus said, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Amen. Knowing that Jesus said, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we don't even take time to study and pray over and think over and apply the commandments of God. Pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Preach the gospel to every creature. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, reverence your husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. All commands given by the King. How willing are we to obey them unreservedly, cheerfully, walking in His ways? Yet how quick are we to shrink from duty if we are the least bit inconvenienced? Now, David was really at fault in this unwarranted desire, and he acknowledged as much symbolically in verse 17 when he poured it out and said, I can't drink of this because these men risked their lives to get it. But leaders, pastors, teachers, deacons, men, you better watch your words and your desires because they influence others. Verse 18. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among the three, and he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them and had the name among three. Was he not most honorable of the three? Therefore he was their captain, howbeit he attained not unto the first three. Now, Abishai was the brother of Joab. Joab was a lot more famous. I mean, we know more about Joab's exploits than we do Abishai, but it says here that he slew 300 men with a spear, and he's recognized rather than Joab, who's nowhere listed as one of the mighty men. The memory of the just is blessed, yet the name of the wicked shall rot. Joab was a wicked man. But here was a man who was the brother of Joab, who lived in his shadow, yet he was faithful. And God honored him for it. There's a lesson there for all of us. Just be faithful. That's all that is required of a steward, that he be faithful with the resources God has given him. Be faithful. Man, that was one of the first things I learned in the Christian life. How hard is it to be at church every time the doors are open? I understand when you providentially hindered, but folks, listen. There's a lot of things that's not being providentially hindered that people use for excuses. But to me, that was one of the easiest things I could do. Come to church where I get to sing. And I ain't a very good singer, but I like to sing. To be with God's people, to shake hands, to be encouraged, to hear the Word preached, to lift up our voices in prayer, to admonish and encourage one another, and provoke unto love and good work. That should be an easy thing for us. Prayer is harder for me. But I pray God will make me faithful to be a man in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit and be faithful. Well, we'll end with Benaiah. It says in verse 20, "And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. But he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighty men." He slew a lion. Now, I'm not saying that you can slay Satan, but he is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. You can't stand against him in your own strength. You have to say, "The Lord rebuke thee," but understand that you are in a battle. And you've got to use the weapons of that are not carnal, but spiritual, to take him on. He also slew an Egyptian, who is typical in the Word of God to the world. Folks, we need to fight against the world. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, not of the Father, but of the world." Don't love this world. Fight against it. Be victorious by faith over it. Benaiah, his father, was a valiant man. Thank God for faithful fathers. Amen. Who teach their children the fear and the admonition of the Lord and train them up in the way that they should go, and to see these young people following in the steps of faithful men and faithful women who love the Lord and honor Him. May God raise them up in our churches. Amen. Amen. Now here's another thing. He slew a lion in the snow. I remember when I was a young preacher, we had about 5 Sundays in a row where it seemed like I'd get up and there'd be 2 or 3 inches of snow out there. And I'd say, "Lord, what are you doing? It's going to hurt our attendance." Say, "You concerned about it?" "Yes, I am. It bothers me." And I'd get aggravated about it. And about the 5th Sunday, the Lord said, "Well, you know what? If I do that on a Monday, these same people that don't come to church, they're going to be out there cleaning their car off to go to work." So I preached a sermon on it. Now, don't get me wrong. Please don't take this wrong. I'm not telling you to break a hip in the snow, okay? Or to endanger your lives. But how many times do we let outward circumstances determine whether we're going to serve the Lord or not? Whether it's convenient for us at that moment. This man slew this lion in adverse weather conditions. Oh, that God would raise up people who will serve no matter what the conditions are. Who will be faithful soldiers of the cross. Our zeal for the Lord should not be quenched because of weather or adverse circumstances. Now let me give some practical application with a plea for mighty men. And I hearken back to David when all those grown men were cowering in fear. It was a young man who lifted up his voice and said, "Is there not a cause?" And he backed up that bravery with faith and courage to take on Goliath. How about Joshua at the end of his days when his hair was white? And he said, "Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Whether the gods on the other side of the flood or, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Where are the men who will say that tonight? Where are the men who will say, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord"? Elijah, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve Him." Tonight, this is a call to service. Will you respond? Will you covenant with God? Will you determine in your heart, "I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to love Him. I'm going to witness for Him. I'm going to read His Word. I'm going to obey the truth. I'm going to be the very best member of this church that I can possibly be." Amen. For the glory of God. For the honor of God. Choose you this day. And can you say with Paul, "At the end of your days, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. My race is done, but I've served the Lord with every fiber of my being by the grace of God." Amen. Mighty men are needed. Yes. Who will stand in the gap? And where are the mighty men today? Who will be examples to other believers? Oh, that God would humble our hearts tonight and cause us to have a greater desire to be obedient until we draw our very last breath. I want to be in the bride. I believe that the bride is going to be made up of faithful members of the Lord's church, and it will be determined at the judgment seat of Christ. I want to be faithful to the end. May God help us.